From the makers of Rice-A-Roni comes Macaroni, a creamy, delicious boxed mac and cheese that's not just good, it's cheesy good. Macaroni will please even the pickiest eaters with two magnificent flavors that will melt your heart, creamy cheddar and creamy white cheddar. If you love cheese, you'll love Macaroni by the makers of Rice-A-Roni. If you don't love cheese, well, that's just unbelievable. Try Macaroni. It's cheesy good.
Macaroni, the San Francisco treat.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and an any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just three. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Joanna Fortune joins us once again for Parenting. Afternoon, Joanna.
Afternoon, Sean.
We have a just turned 6-year-old girl who is a happy, articulate and arty. However, she's very nervous with any kind of public speaking and has been worried about her Christmas play where every child was due to get a line to say. I advised her teacher and we agreed she wouldn't say a line, but would just sing the songs in a group. Last year in juniors, she managed one song before coming over to me and sitting on my lap. She's always struggled with transitions from me, her mum, but does very well when she's in school or at her after-school activity. She's always been shy and slow to leave me, but I'm just afraid we're doing her a disservice by not pushing her out of her comfort zone a little. Last June, she had an individual gymnastics routine in a competition and she worried for nights about it. She is a perfectionist. On the day, she did it and got gold. But I did have to give her a little push at this. Her dad is very similar, personality-wise, introverted and detail-oriented. I'm the opposite. We give her a lot of autonomy in her clothes, her homework, even her food, as she's a very mature girl. She's happy now that she won't have to speak during the play, but should we step up here and push her a little bit more?
This is such a tricky one because it's the time of year for all of these performances in school. And, you know, for some kids, they love it and they bask in that attention and spotlight. And for some kids, they hate it and will always hate it. So I think she's already pushed out of her comfort zone just by doing the show. So I don't know that you need to push her much further than that. You know, the fact that she will get up there and she will sing with the class while everybody smiles and claps and, you know, does the little laugh and the ooh and ah, she's only in senior infants. She's really young. Now, all of that said, Sean, I do think in general, encouraging mastery over those kind of tension-rousing experiences is a good thing. So when this parent is talking about, you know, the gymnastics display and you did push her a bit and she was able to do it and she won the gold medal, just because she won it doesn't mean it was easy for her to do it. You know, being good at something and then being able to perform are two very different things. So I'm wondering if they were to take a playful challenge approach to this, you know, and by playful challenge, it may be something like, last year you sang one song with your whole class. This year, I bet you could do two or even more. I don't know how many songs these kids will be singing. Maybe two is all they sing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I bet you could do two. And my lap is right here if you need it. So you're not saying you better do it, but you're just pushing her a little in that kind of gentle yet firm way. I bet you could do more. I know you could do more. If you can't, I'm available to you. I'm here.
Yeah.
And just because she's only six. And I think I would be watching this with her and just extending, when we talk about pushing our kids, it has to be in line with their development. Like the encouragement that you would give a child who's 8 or 9 to try something, of course you can do it, is very different to the encouragement you're going to give a 6-year-old and go, okay, do you know what? It's enough for her to get up and do it at all. Also, I just think like kids getting up and doing big performances, and it is, even if it's just for parents, it's a lot of people staring, looking at you and taking photos of you and whatnot. It might be no harm just to role play at home, coming into the sitting room, standing up, you all go clap, she sings a song and it's in her safe zone. But at least she's gone through the motions of I get up, I stand, I sing, people look, they clap, I sit down. You know that she's gone through those steps. And just begin to gently, when you're out in coffee shops or restaurants or anything like that, encourage her to ask for her own drink or her own cookie, whatever she's ordering. Mm-hmm. You know, that she asks for it in her own voice, herself, with her please and thank yous, and then sit down. Those are the bits where you can help kids find their voice when they're not just with you, and grow that up with her. I think she will outgrow this, but it's just going to take time.
Yeah, indeed. And as you say, it's not like, you know, we have to push people to be, you know, theatrical and perform on the stage, because most people aren't going to do that.
Not at all. And for some people, like, they'll even as adults say, oh my gosh, I used to dread those school Christmas concerts. You know, it's not for everyone, and she might never grow to love it. But what? So it's not just about her getting up on stage, but just encouraging her to take those safe, developmentally appropriate risks with your encouragement, and you're there cheering her on. And if it doesn't work, you just embrace her, hug her, make her feel better about it. And you say, do you know what? I'm so proud you tried that. Yeah. And it's all about effort over outcome.
I'm hoping you can help me. I have three girls aged 14, 16 and 17. Woo. In the last few years, as you can imagine, they've grown into little women. They wear makeup, short skirts, low cut tops, all the usual teenage things. In the last few months, the two older girls have got boyfriends. They seem to be perfectly nice young men, and I've met both of them. The problem is my husband is not dealing with this very well. He was always close to the girls. I think he's finding it hard now that he's not their number one guy. This has manifested into him grilling the lads anytime they're in the house. He's quite cold and standoffish with the boyfriends too, which is creating a hostile environment for the girls. The girls have spoken to me about the situation. I feel quite embarrassed by his carry-on. The other night at 4 a.m, my husband turned to me in bed and asked me did I think the girls were having sex, although he didn't use the word. He just danced around it. I assured him they weren't, but he seemed visibly distraught. Unfortunately, I was lying to him because I already know my eldest daughter has. On the one hand, I think he's acting like an idiot, and on the other, I can understand that they'll always be his little girls. How do I smooth over this situation and make it more pleasant for all involved?
I'm going to encourage this parent to get out of rescue mode. You know, you can't make this easier for everyone. There's a whole lot that's going on here. You know, Sean, this is so interesting because this is something I hear a lot about in my work with parents, and comes up with parents about how difficult it is to just be able to know, when do I step back and let my kids grow up, and how do I cope with, even if my insides are screaming and my brain saying, yeah, this is normal, but actually I hate it. So this is quite a typical experience. But as our children are growing up, our parenting has to grow up in line with them. And that's what your husband is struggling with here. He's still, like you even say it, they'll always be his little girls. Do you know what? They'll always be his daughters, but they will not always be little girls. Mm. Nor should we try to parent them as if they were little girls. These are young women who are developing, growing, exploring their desires, autonomy, their own place in the world. And that's as it should be. And at some point as parents, we do have to trust that we've done enough, that everything we've been putting in there from when they were our little girls is going to stand to them now that they're young women making their way in the world. And they're still at home with you. They're still 14, 16, 17. They're teenagers. But I think to ensure his role in their life going forward, he has to let them grow up. Because actually, while he might always be thinking, I want to be the center of their world for them and guiding them and protecting them and safeguarding them, the way he's treating their boyfriends is going to drive a wedge into his relationship with his daughters. They're already embarrassed by the way he's treating their boyfriends. They're complaining to their mom about it. And then mom's in the middle here going, yes, I'm the one the girls are complaining about dad too. And then I'm the one dad is, you know, veering out loud with, let's say that. But I'm wondering, as a couple, as parents, can you talk openly together about his struggle? I mean, otherwise they could absolutely have a professional consultation with somebody to really just talk it out loud. I think sometimes saying the things that you're most worried about and most afraid of, but I think he also is going to have to get to a place of accepting his girls are growing up. They are having their own new experiences, and to stay relevant in their life, he has to be interested in what's interesting to them now, you know, and to be able to find a new way of relating. And actually, they would be so thrilled with him if he was pleasant and welcoming and chatted in a friendly way to their boyfriends when they came over and made them feel welcome. That's going to endear him more to the girls than the way he's behaving right now. But I think he's behaving the way he is because he's struggling. It's not because I'm against my kids having friends or boyfriends. It's just, I didn't think this through. I didn't imagine this day was going to come, and it's really hard.
Yeah. But Would it be too cool to say maybe dad needs to grow up a bit rather than the girls are growing up?
I mean, in lots of ways, yeah, that is the point, you know, and I think we can say it like that because, you know, this issue comes up most often at this stage of parenting with teenagers.
Yeah.
Because the task of adolescence is autonomy, independence, to pull away from parents and to assert themselves in the world. If you're the type of parent who's like, no, I like my hands fully on the wheel. I like to be driving the direction things are going. I like to be the one they come to with all their problems. I like to know everything that's going on in my children's life. This stage of parenting is going to be excruciating for you. It's going to be incredibly difficult. But yet dad has to let go. And I think I would be challenging this. They'll always be his little girls. I think you've got to take that phrase out and actually reframe it and say to him, they are not going to always be your little girls. They will always be your girls, your daughters, but they're young women now. Mm. And we have to treat them like that. And if he's like, no, I'm having a really hard time, then do you know what? Maybe dad would benefit from having a conversation. I think they could work this out themselves though, Sean. I really do. I think going out of the house, like for a drive, you know, we'd often say this with parents and teenagers, but doing it yourselves, going for a drive, going out for dinner, having a conversation where you can really say, I know it's hard, but you've got to get through this. We've got to get over it so that the girls know that they can bring boyfriends home, that everyone is welcome in our house, that we are an active part of their lives now going forward.
Yeah, I suppose it's sometimes difficult for parents to accept that you kind of only have your children on loan.
I know it's really difficult. And I think anyone who's parenting little kids are just going, oh, thank God that's not me yet, but it will be one day.
Yeah.
And that's the piece, like everybody's going to go through this and it's just about how we go through it. But if you're thinking about this from the point of view of the girls, they've got one parent, their mom, who's actually coping really well with all of this. And they're able to talk to her openly and come to her and say, I'm not happy about this or that. They're able to say, I'm having sex or I'm not, or I'm thinking about it. Dad is actually excluding himself by his behavior, by his refusal to move with them. He's actually pushing himself out of the narrative. They're not going to him with any of this. And so that's actually something I think is quite sad. And I think now is the time to catch it and turn that around because he is important. He'll always be their dad and important in their lives, but he's got to find his new place with them.
Can you please help me with an issue I'm having with my son that seems to be getting progressively worse? He's 12, has always had a bit of a temper, but I found in the last year he is triggered very easily and lashes out, mostly verbally, but sometimes physically as well. He's also highly emotional and it wouldn't take much to make him cry. The most recent incident was during a hurling match last week where he got into a huge fight with his teammate who criticised him for not passing the ball. It wasn't a big deal, but my son could be heard from the sidelines, roaring and shouting in response to someone on the same team as him. A short while later, he was taken off by the manager. I tried to talk to him about it on the drive home, but he was still fuming and wouldn't engage with me. I feel his anger issues are getting out of control, and I don't know what to do or what's causing them. The team manager had words with him, but my son will not tell me what was said to him. My husband and I are fairly level-headed people, and we would never react to anything like this, so I'm not sure where he's getting this. The obvious answer seems to be hormones, but is this really all it is?
I'm not sure that is the obvious answer, actually, because, you know, the start of this letter says he's always had what's described as a bit of a temper. I know it's escalated, but actually there's something that's always been bubbling in him from when he was much younger. So, and in this, all of this letter here, you know, what's not mentioned is how does he do repair? You know, how does he make amends after he's flipped his lid and lost it with a friend? It's taking specifically the example used here, you know, how did this kid make amends with his teammate? I know the coach had words. I think that means different things to all of us, by the way, because when I read someone had words with them, I'm feeling like he got given out to. You know, that's what I would hear by having words. And I do think it's important that the coach spoke with him. And it might be important the coach speak with him again ahead of the next match, you know, not to shame or scold him, but to emphasize teamwork and what they want to see from him and that he's a good player and they want him on the team. But part of being on a team is mutual respect. protect and working together and passing the ball and whatnot and really talking to him. But even the coach talking to him, he doesn't seem to have integrated that, because he didn't come home contrite and say, gosh, you know, I'm embarrassed. The coach said this to me and I feel really ashamed. It was more, I'm not telling you what he said. And he shut down again and he went into that retreat. So I think it's really important that they emphasize the importance of making repair when you've had a rupture in a relationship. And a rupture is anything that's caused by these explosive moments he seems to be having. And the fact that this parent is saying, look, he always has essentially had difficulty regulating his emotions. And when he was a little kid, to some extent, look, we expect that. You know, we expect young kids to have difficulty managing their emotions. But now he's 12. And when you combine the difficulty regulating emotions with him being on the cusp of adolescence and the sort of natural emotional dysregulation that that phase of development brings, I do think, Sean, he would benefit from working with a therapist. And I'd go with somebody who can do play-based work, but is also child and adolescent trained. So they could actually maybe stick with him as he enters adolescence. Or even if he did a phase of work now, and in a year or two, he needed to or wanted to return to therapy to help a little bit more. He has a pre-existing relationship with somebody who could reconnect with him in his adolescent years. Mm. I think that would be a good way to think about it. But I'm also wondering that, you know, that your son was shouting and roaring to the extent people could hear it on the sideline. Okay, so that's quite the, it's quite the display of anger. And then a short while later, he was taken off. I'm just wondering if this boy connected the two. I was taken off because of my behavior, or does he think, you know, my friend shouldn't have spoken to me that way. He deserved me shouting at him and I happened to be taken off. Is he joining the dots? Because I wouldn't assume he is, but he is struggling because it's not just anger. You know, it's this this parent is saying, you know, he's highly emotional. It wouldn't take much to make him cry. So a lot of his feelings are at what I'd call the too much level. You know, when somebody isn't angry, they're enraged. They're not happy. They're not excited. They're hyper, you know, or they're not sad. They're devastated. You know, when everything just feels at that amplified too much level, he's just sounding for me a kid who's feeling at the too much level, and he might benefit from some help with that now before the adolescent development really kicks in, when it's just going to become more and more difficult, A, to get him to agree to go and see somebody, but also there's going to be so much else going on for him developmentally. It'll be hard to filter out what belongs in the, it's always been an issue, and what belongs in the adolescent development.
Yes. Final question, and as is often the case, it's partially about parenting, partially about marriage guidance counselling. My wife and I have very different parenting styles. I don't know the best way to navigate it. Growing up, my parents were very hands-off, gave us a lot of freedom, especially when we were teenagers, to essentially do our own thing. We kind of found our way in the world without much interference from them. I don't want to model that exact parenting style, but I do think it's important to give kids autonomy to make their own choices. My wife, on the other hand, had two very hands-on parents. Being an only child, every aspect of her young life was monitored very closely. I'd love to give our sons of 14 and 16 more freedom and take a step back, but my husband wants the opposite. As the boys get older, I find this becoming a problem because she tells him one thing, I'll say another. At the moment, it's acting like a sergeant major. And to be honest, I think this will only foster secrets and deceit with the lads. How do we strike the right balance?
Oh, balance is such a great word. It's very hard to achieve, but it's very important. This is a really good example of how opposites attract, because these two parents were raised in very different homes, very different parenting styles, very different experiences growing up. And I think what's important is the one who grew up with the hands off isn't saying that's the right thing to do. There is a happy medium. Like, teenagers don't need you to kind of step back and go, see you on the other side. Let's see how this works out. You're on your own, kid. But at the same time, you cannot have all of the control. It's a little bit like we were just talking about with the dad of the girls. I think because these parents come from very different homes, it's going to be really helpful to sit together and now. The boys are 14 and 16. You've done incredibly well to get this far before this has really become an issue. But agree parental essentials for each of you and parental preferences. Because I know sometimes we think, well, everything I want is an essential, but that's not true. You know, there are some things I might like or prefer would happen. And there are some things that are non-negotiable, red line issues. Absolutely, I can't move on those. And I think you both need to put those on the table and agree a middle ground. Because at the age these boys are at, they do need more autonomy. That's very important. But how each of these parents define autonomy is equally important to discuss and bring up, because the one who's more strict, for example, might be saying, well, I do give them autonomy. They're allowed to do X, Y, and Z. That's enough. And the other parent will be like, oh, no, I was envisaging something completely different when I thought of autonomy. I think it's really important that you think that out together, like, because this kind of over-parenting, when we make all the decisions for our kids and we're in everything that they do and we're over-involved, especially at this middle adolescence into later adolescence phase, it often comes, Sean, from parental anxiety. You know, it's not that I'm trying to ruin my kids' lives, but actually, you know, I'm actually afraid that if I don't keep an eye on everything, something terrible will happen and I won't cope with that. So just, you know, think about that. A few therapeutic parenting consultations could help if you really can't get through it yourselves. But starting with that conversation about, look, here's what I think and feel. Here's what you think and feel. Where can we meet in the middle? That could be really helpful to establish shared parenting goals. And it's important the boys see parents on same page. Because if they see that you're completely different, they'll quickly now begin to divide and conquer and split between you.
Yeah, it's interesting because that question is about, you could roughly categorize it as, I don't want my little boys to grow up and the one previous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a common problem. Joanne, thanks a million as ever. Many thanks for doing that, as you heard there.
Thank you.
Joanna's throat's a bit ropey this week. Hopefully she'll make a speedy recovery.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and an any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just three. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.